George, I'm an idiot. I'm sitting here really nervous, I'm really frightened. And I've done a few of these chairs, but I think, you know, I was asked to do this some months ago, and I haven't kind of, you know, really, I kind of put it out of the way for the first, couple of months, and then, you know, in the last couple of weeks, he's been creeping up to do this and do this, and I think it's because I've been here, and there's so many people, and it's so close up, and it's so, you know, full on, and you're in the spotlight, and it's difficult for me to do life without using. And I sat here and I feel nervous, and I was going through some stuff, and I thought a few Valium, sort that out, and then a little way along and that, but you know, it's never been anything few for me, it's never. And I'll give you a few minutes of where I was, where I'm from, who I am, and I come from London, and my family is a dysfunctional one. I've got an alcoholic mother, addict brothers and sister. The household was violent. It was what it was. It was, you know, a using addict bringing up kids, and it was a nightmare. To be a kid and to have to watch, mothers get beat up of a night. Lay in your own piss and be just terrified of life going on. You don't know what's happening out there. You know, there's some really kind of no understanding of life whatsoever. And just wanting to get out of that ass, just wanting to get out on the streets. I just wanted to get out with the people that I felt safer around. And it was the rest of the boys out on the roads. And I never went home. I didn't want to be home. I was a street kid. I was wild. I was really angry, really rageful. And at the age of 10, 11, I was put in the car. And I was the only one. There's tons of stuff in here, but I was the only one out of brothers and sisters older than me. And I always wanted to be like them, because what was with them is that they were kind of getting money at an early age, and they were stealing at an early age. And in the area that I come from, that was a norm. And they were still at an early age, and my mum would give them attention, you know what I mean? And I learnt some stuff. I learnt how to get some attention from my mum, so I learnt to do all the same things in that. And I didn't really want to be doing it, but I didn't know how to do life whatsoever, you know what I mean? So I was kind of depressed as a kid, terrified as a kid, and by the time I went into this children's home, I remember, you know, my brothers were puffing and doing all that stuff, and in the children's home I had my first spliff, and that was about 11 years of age, and that was it. I was off and running. From there, I was like, it was like the puffing and then the thieving, the excitement. I was always trying to stay away from what was really going on. And I was just continuing to run, and I had it with all the older faces, and it was in the 70s and in the early 80s and I got into that way of living, and I was in and out of trouble with police. My mum was, continually, getting beat up, continually in her alcoholism, continually breaking down, and it was heartbreaking. So I know about losses, I know about the effects of this, I know what we do, I know I've been a recipient of it. And I was into, the drinking, it was just never enough, the one. It was the sulfate, the cocaine, it was all that stuff in blues clubs and pubs, and that's where it was happening, that's where I was alive. It was with used guys using that I was alive. I felt safe, I felt all right, and I felt in it and that. And I remember, I was in the secure unit by the time I was 12 years of age. I kept running away from these children's homes. Because although it was chaotic at my mum's, I wanted to be there. I just wanted to be in my area, and I wanted to be there, and I just kept running and running. And I was really wild kid. I used to sleep in people's gardens till they got up in the morning, because I never went home. And then all that stuff, and the progression from 11 to 15 was I never stopped with anything that I used. Was the drink and the drugs and the cocaine. I never went home. I kept going, and and then I got a sentence, and I went to a bog stall, and I was 15 years old, and smuggling you know, getting visits and older people coming down, smuggling puff in there and doing all that stuff. And then when I come out of there, I thought it a great idea to use a bit of smack, a bit of heroin, and there it goes. You know, life never really begun for me, and it was over. And it was, you know, my life was about using and finding ways and means to get more. And that was from a young age. And when it became the, you know, and I hold my hands up. I take responsibility for my actions. I hurt a lot of people. You know, I added to my mum's problems. You know, I was angry with life. I was angry with people. I was broken as a kid. And using was a way out for me. It made me feel better. It took away all my problems. It took away, you know, the terror that I felt about life, the stuff that I had going on in my mind. It just totally took it out. And it was the heroin and the freebasing, you know, and it was all that. And then I'd end up, you know, underweight, undernourished, and banged up again in prison. And there was the pattern. There's nothing more than there was the pattern. I kept ending up in the same place. I kept getting there. You know, I've tried every kind of thing. You know, in prisons I was a great reader. You know, I read loads of different kind of religious books, and although I got lots of stuff from their meanings and their sayings, it was just like, you know, what I see in a hole with it all. It was just my way is the only way, and it's the right way, and this is it. And it was just, you know, it didn't do it, and it didn't work. And tried one or two little treatment centres. It was a day, like a couple of day programs, and a little place over North London. And they kicked me out of there because I had a lager, and that was it. They kicked me out of there because I declared it. I got honest. There's a lesson there that I learned throughout time. If you be honest, you get punished. You know what I mean? And so I learned to be really, really dishonest and not tell the truth. Anyway, so the story goes, it's the jails and institutions, and I ended up there and kept ending up there, and nothing, and no one worked. But NA kept coming into them institutions, and there's a few people here that I know from the institutions that worked in there, but also there's many members that I know that got quite a lot of time around that come in there, and they kept coming in. He kept coming in, and I remember a guy shared in there about how he got clean, and it was when it was over for him, and he said enough's enough. He got clean in the rooms, and that was, I think it was about 18 years ago, and that stuck in my mind. And when I was 38, and I got, you know, it was over, it was done. I got a huge mess behind me. I never knew how to do life. I've never done it. I'm not educated. I've never been to school. Never done all that. None of that. Life was totally, you know. I was on 80 mil methadone here. I got emphysema, I was, you know, 9 stone, I was absolutely in trouble. Skin, I've never had no money anyway. I've never had none. I mean, it's not a lie about it, I never had none. but within that is more arms. Within not having the money for it is more arms, it's massive. My arms is massive. And I got here and I heard. What was happening here. It weren't so much I heard, is, you know, I just got here, and I remember I was sitting here with my brother. I've got a younger brother who's 8 years clean now, and he's a big help for me. And then I've got a brother who's keeps coming to these rooms, he keeps coming, he can't get clean, and he's banged up now. And he got 16 months the other day, and please God that something will shift and shape for him. But I remember him walking out of this meeting on a Sunday, and the hardest thing, I made the decision to stay. And I walked out and said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to use." I said, "I can't." And I let him go. And it broke my heart to let him go. And I stayed, and I detoxed in these meetings, and I come off of methadone in there. And on the 27th of December 2007, I got my first day clean. And it was... And I remember, you know, and I was clucking, I was sick. And I said, "Oh, through it." And I went through it, and I went through it with people in these rooms that helped me, that, you know, taught me about what 12 steppings around, what it's about. And they took me to meetings, they picked me up, they helped me, you know, they paid for me outside with food, with restaurants, bought me cups of teas. And the love that they give me was, you know what I mean, was something I understand fully now. So it was what yous gave to me, not what I bought here. It was what yous gave to me that's kept me coming back. And yous have allowed the people that I had around have allowed me to be myself, absolutely crazy, and all the way through. Yous have allowed me, because if you wouldn't, then I wouldn't have come back. You know, if you tried to make me be someone that I wasn't, then I wouldn't have come back. I needed to find myself, and that's what's happened. Out of that, you know, I'll be 5 years next week. And I share this because it's like just where I'll wrap up is about the steps for me. Is the steps for me and the stuff that I've done for them has helped me kind of see and hear what I could never see or hear. And taking, you know, it's helped me get from a dark place within myself around people, places and things, with family, sons, and Menzies, and that into a much more loving place within myself. That I wake up every day and I don't want to use. I don't want to kill myself. I don't want to die, and I want to kind of try and help some people. I want to turn up for my son. You know, I want to turn up for my mum. I've made all the Menzies, and I've had to kind of, you know, I realise that there's, you know, I realise now, and this is why I always find the courage to change on a daily basis, is that I realise that there is nothing I can do to change what's happened or anyone else. But I can change what I do, and what I do is just want to keep walking forward on a daily basis. It's just keep walking forward and doing this. And then he's helped me do that. So I ended with really many, many, many thanks to people that are not here that I'd really like to thank from the bottom of my heart, and I will do, you know, over the Christmas time. It is what it is. If you really want this and you really got a desire, you know, do what I've done and ask for help. Ask for help around this. Thanks a lot. I'll leave it there.